Professor Morales.
We just left off discussing the idea of what is considered to be a ace matzah, the best time to ask for things. And we discussed some important ideas. We're in Chesed Medal, there's a little dot, the first word in the line is Mikulhu. We're going to start with the Omrei Rava. The Gemara talked about the important things we have to daven for, such as a spouse, Torah, Misa, Kfura, and the last but not only not least, but right. Most important, Beis HaKisei, the bathroom. That's like the most important. Okay. Alright, so Amalei Rava. We're up to Amalei Rava, Chesamon Aleph. Rava said, Le Raphram Bar Papa. He said the following two.
How many lines are you from the Bible?
I'd say about 12 lines, about 6 lines before the lines get very
Raphram
wide.
Raphram Bar Papa is one of the guys, the Papa family that you say at the end of the season,
yes,
right?
We'll get there.
Okay.
Stay tuned. Another 10 years, we'll get there.
I can't find Omer Rava.
It's the first word, first Kulhu is right there, and then Omer Lay, Rava, or Raphram Bar Papa. Right, he's one of the Papas.
Read this again?
Yes.
Rav,
you see where we are, Alan?
No.
Chesamad Aleph. You know Chesamad Aleph?
Yes.
Okay. There's three levels. There's the medium-sized lines. The sixth to last medium-sized line, the second word in the line, is Omrei Rava. Okay? Omrei Rava, Rav Bar Papa. Lamelon Mar. Mahani Mili Milyata, tell me one of these really nice sayings, some very powerful, important words.
That's 6 lines.
Okay. Now we're up to 6 lines. The Amrit Mishmei Deral Chista. Tell me something really which is very powerful, beautiful words that you heard in the name of Rav Chista, B'mili Debe Knista. Something about a shul. Give me some Devar Torah, some nice thought about a Beit Knista. Beit Achneses. So Ormulei, he said, okay, you want that particular topic, no problem. Halchi Yom Rav Chista, you want also the name of Rav Chista for some reason, I can give you that too. This is what Rav Chista said. Ma'idach Siv, what does the following Pasuk in Tehillah mean? Oyev Hashem Shari Tzion, literally mean Hashem loves the gates of Zion, Mikol Mishkanos Yaakov, from all the dwelling places of Yaakov. What does that mean? Hashem likes the gates of Zion more than the dwelling places of Yaakov. What is the significance of that? So, what does that mean? So, Rav Chista darshins this pasuk in Tehillim to mean as follows. Oev Hashem she'arim, not necessarily Tzion, but you can read it as shemitzuyanim, gates which are designated. Shari Tzion, Tzion could mean, which is an interesting word for Tzion, is mitsuyanim, something which is set aside, something which is designated.
And that is,
or mitsuyan.
Visible, like when you call it the Matseva, it's called the Tzion, because now you can see where the mace was buried, because of that Matseva. So there was something that...
So that's what a Matseva is, it's something which acknowledges and designates a certain spot. This is where the mace is. Right.
That's called the Tzion in Hebrew, anyway.
With the same spelling.
Yeah.
It's interesting. So that's why it's called Tzion. Perhaps that makes sense. Okay. Simetsuyanim b'halacha, yoisim ubati kinesios ubati midrashios. Hashem loves the places which are designated, specified specifically for halacha, more than a shul and a base medrash.
And the Haggadah we say, Havim Mitzuyanim Sham. Havim Mitzuyanim Sham. They were a mistake.
Oh, right. That's right. Very good. So, good. Now, it's an incredible statement that most people think a shul is where it's at. The base medrash has greater levels of Kedusha, but even that, more important are Sharim Mitzuyanim B'halacha. I don't know. He said he couldn't make it today. So, but anyway, that's what he said, based on this pasuk. So therefore, what does it mean? Because, so you go back to the pasuk, of Olim Hashem Sharet Zion, Hashem loves these designated gates more than Mishkanos Yaakov. Mishkanos Yaakov, dwelling places where Yaakov, who is an Ishtam Yoshev Ohalim, he represents the base Medrash. So Hashem loves people that designate the places for halachic study specifically more than anything else. It's the importance of learning halacha.
Wasn't Bate Medrashah, so that's the same thing.
That's a good question. Base Medrash does not necessarily mean specifically halacha, though. Apparently it could mean... I mean, a base medrash means a house where they're learning with Rashim. A medrash.
Yeah. That when a person learns, okay, it doesn't necessarily derive halacha. Every time we learn a black Gemara, you don't learn halacha all the time. You're learning whatever. But when you the Sharet Zion, they were dafka learning halacha. So this is, there's the difference over there as far as, just learning for the sake of learning and learning just for halacha. And the Sharet Zion, the designated spots for halacha,
It's an amazing thing because you would think perhaps the opposite.
Right, exactly.
Why? Because when it comes to halacha, you're doing it because I want to get the brass tacks. What am I supposed to do? Tell me this.
You might be learning lishma.
You think that's more important.
Right.
Yeah, but you have to know halacha on ice, otherwise you know what to do.
Right. So
you. What good is all these theories if you don't know how to handle it? How to
Right. That's right. So, and that's the idea over here. So the halacha is where it's at. V'hainu the amrachiyam bar ami mishmei de'ula. Famous piece. Miyom shechar beis hamikdash, from the day that the beis hamikdash was destroyed. You have to understand the significance of this. You can think about why this is so, this line. But this is a relatively famous quote. Ein lo l'kadosh baruch hu b'olamo el arba amos shel halacha b'vad. Hashem is not in this world except in the four cubits of halacha. Halachic study only. Now, what is that? In the days when there's a Beis HaMikdash, I guess he was hanging out in the Beis HaMikdash. Shechina, Hashem's everywhere. But after there's no Beis HaMikdash, it's halacha. And I guess the significance of that, and I guess there's a few different interpretations, is Hashem is everywhere. But where we acknowledge Him, Hashem is in the bathroom just as much as He is in the shul. Hashem is makom, He's omnipresent, He's everywhere. However, we don't have the ability to acknowledge His greatness in a bathroom, but we are allowed to do so here. So therefore, a shul takes upon an element of kedusha because it's a place where we acknowledge Hashem's greatness. So the Beis HaMikdash, where Hashem was completely acknowledged, that's not here, but us keeping and adhering to and learning halacha in order to fulfill His will, that's another way in which we're able to reenact what it was like in the days of the Beis HaMikdash. So by a person keeping halacha, it's as though you're doing the same thing as what the Beis HaMikdash did.
The Beis HaMikdash, the Sanhedrin, the Sanhedrin,
that's true.
Again, repeat our scroll.
Oh, that's okay. It's still good.
There you go.
Maybe go lower. So, but the idea of being of the Beis HaMikdash is not just some place where karbanos were brought, but that's where Hashem's presence was seen. Because not that Hashem was necessarily even there more than another place, but that was a place where people saw the greatness of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, because that's where people were focused.
Also, we say, lo kam Yisrael k'moshe od, because Moshe was giving halacha the whole time, and he had Hashem with him, and then when Moshe was gone, God was God, basically. There was nobody that was on that level that could interpret and did the things that Moshe did as far as Yisrael and all that other kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's one of the tragedies when a generation cannot replenish those that...
The Kedolim, right.
Right, so that's... People, and the biggest tragedy is that most people don't even realize what was lost. That's the biggest tragedy. But by Moshe Rabbeinu or whomever, there's a certain element of quality levels of learning that's not there anymore.
Listen, Osnil Bekaz revived hundreds of thousands of halachas that were forgotten.
Right.
So Osnil Bekaz should be revered as a man who was going to be back to
Shkina. Yeah, he was. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Did you have the Amoda with Nash?
Very good. Do you know he's buried? Buried in Hebron. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
They left this cabin on the Arab side.
So people can't...
So they made an arrangement with them, Rabin, that we can go there once every couple of months. But the Arabs, of course, don't
buy it. Not on Shabbos Tevlin either?
No.
You can't go. Oh. All right. But that's the idea of this idea, that even if the Beis HaMikdash isn't here, the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash is the same idea of person learning halacha. Fine. The Omer Abaye. Abaye says, Mereish, initially, at first, having Grisei Begava Beisaya, we used to learn at home. And when it came time to go to shul, and I shouldn't announce this to the public masses, Matzalina Bebei Knista, I would daven at shul, I'd go to Beis HaKnesses to daven. However, once I heard this incredible statement, Miyom Shechar Beis HaMikdash, the time the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, first wide line, that Hashem is only found by the place where halacha is being studied, I do not daven except where I learn, which apparently means even without a minyan. Right, that's what it sounds like.
I wouldn't worry about this. Okay.
Oh, because we learn where we daven anyway, right here. That's why we do it, so that it doesn't cause any controversy. But that's what he said. Better that, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was more willing to. He's already there, so it's a given. So you'd rather just daven where he learns in his house. Second wide line. Rabbi Ami and Rav Asi, who, by the way, are buried side by side, like an L, together. You ever see their kever? It's near the Rambam. It's near the Rambam. Rav Ami and Rav Asi, it's like this.
Why is that?
I mean, whenever you see Rav Ami, you always see Rav Asi. Rav Ami and Rav Asi are always together, so it's incredible that's... I don't know why they're buried like an L. But I found that to be pretty amazing. Afal gam dehavi luhu tleas or bekinista betveria. There you go. It makes sense. That's why they were buried in Tveria. That's where they were learning. They had so many different shuls there. Nonetheless, olmatzel elabeni amude hecha dehavi garsi. They only would daven by the pillars where they would learn.
Class of 13?
13. Yeah.
Only 13 shuls in Tveria.
Well, now then, yeah, this was before the Baal Tshuva movement, I guess. I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean in that, it could be in their area, in Tveria. Anyway, so the significance of halacha, so much so that people would even daven right where they learn. And obviously, if a person davens where they learn, their connection of their learning will hopefully affect their davening as well, as opposed to, I daven and I learn. They're two separate incidents. They're two separate actions. Person davens at the same place where they learn. Hopefully their davening will be a better davening than their learning immediately afterwards and immediately before will also have a stronger impact. One of the biggest issues, in fact, that I used to always ask yeshiva students when I was a yeshiva student, I used to always ask them, oh, what are you learning? They would tell me, I'm learning this, Bava Kamma, this, Sanhedrin, whatever it may be. And I'd say, oh, by the way, do you believe in God? They'd be like, what is that? Crazy? I'm like, but do you really think about it? When you're learning Gemara, do you realize that this is actually Torah? You're actually learning Torah? And it's sometimes you get so caught up in the Chakiras and the Lumdas and the Pilpulim that you forget that this is actually Torah. It's not just an intellectual pursuit. So by davening where you learn, you realize that it's Torah. Okay, continuing. Very difficult piece of Gemara coming up here. V'yomer Rav Chiya bar Ami. The words aren't difficult, but the idea is difficult. Rav Chiya, the son of Ami, said Mishmei De'ula. He said in the name of Ula the following. Godol Hanehenem Yegiyo Yosmir Shemayim. Greater is a person who derives benefit from his toil, from the work that he does, even greater than a Yerushalayim, even greater than somebody who fears God. So if a person works bagging groceries at your local BJ's or Stop and Shop, that person, regardless apparently of his character, is greater than a person who's a Yerushalayim, fearing of God. Why? De'il gabi Yerushalayim, when it talks about somebody who fears Hashem, what does it say? Ksiv, it's written, Ashrei Ish Yorei Es Hashem. Praiseworthy is the person who fears God. Right? Ashrei, he gets that. The Ilgabi Nehenemi Gio, person who derives benefit from the toil of his hands. Ksiv, what does it say? Yagia Kapecha Kisoich L'Ashrecha V'Toivach. When you work the labor of your hands, when you eat, it'll be Ashrecha, just like the Yerushimayim, because that's what it said, Ashrei Ish Yorei Es Hashem. Not only will it be Ashrecha, praiseworthy, but also be V'Toivach, will be good for you. What does it mean, praiseworthy and good for you? So the Gemara Darshan's Ashrecha B'Olam Hazeh, V'Toivach L'Olam Haba. This guy who's bagging your groceries, it's going to be good for him in this world and the world to come. However, when it comes to the person who fears heaven, it doesn't say v'tovlach. It only says ashrei. So what does ashrei mean? Ashrei be'olam hazeh. In this world. Which doesn't make any sense for another reason. The person is a Yerushimayim. So where is his sechar supposed to be? It's supposed to be an Olam Haba, but the Gemara says it's
Olam Haba. No, but you say every day in the Davin, he was the person, say right before the brachas, the person who has a good life in this life as well as Olam Haba.
Right.
The one who fulfills these various mitzvahs, but of aim, this, all the other ones.
But doesn't mention Yagia Kapecha, doesn't say working. That's not on the list. That's not on the list.
I'm referring to the parak, when you say parak, the person
The person who's a Yagia Kapecha, we're not talking about some stam guy. This is also a Yerushimayim. Also has to be a Yerushimayim. Not that he works for a living, but he's a nasty person. He's not Torah observant, doesn't care. He's unethical.
Correct. If a person who doesn't work, could bring like this, Zeilu Parom Shem and Shira, Peya, Bekul, Narayim, the missile center. Person didn't work the fields, hacking, possibly master and truman, all those things that Hashem commanded us to do.
Right. Well, that's the problem. The person who the Yerushimayim.
You'd do it if you had the fields.
But the Yerushimayim here is talking apparently a person who doesn't work, and where does he get his reward?
Olam
Haba. Olam Hazeh. How does he get his reward in this world? Yes,
yeah, that's going to feed him.
So,
stopped falling when they got out of the midbar.
So there's an interesting Marsha, which I don't believe is here. It's in the Gemara Tainus. Talks about the famous story of Rav Yochanan, who tremendous nisim occurred to him. One time, his wife said, "You know, we're pretty dirt poor. Get a parnasa. We need some money." So he davened. And as the Gemara says, a golden leg from a table appeared, right? That's what the Gemara says over there in Tainus. So it says, so obviously it's a lot of money. You could sell it and be sitting pretty. However, Rabbi Yochanan had a dream. That night he had a dream and everyone else was sitting by a three-legged table and his was a two-legged table, right? So he realized that he'd be losing out in Olam Haba. And some people explain, as I explained this by Perkei Avos, that the world stands on Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim.
Right.
So he was using his Avodah, his davening, reward for this world instead of the world to come. So therefore he asked for it back, and the Gemara says the greater miracle is that Hashem took it back, because Hashem gives, he doesn't take. But nonetheless, the Marsha explains this concept. I'm not sure if he uses this piece, that when it says, Ar Yerushimayim, it means a person who is like Rav Yochanan, and if he receives schar in this world without earning it, like this golden leg.
But also, we talked about all the big rabbanim that job. One was a sandler, one was a
sure.
Right, we talked about
right.
So if these are the big tzaddikim and this, right. And then you know, yet they had to have.
That's right. That's because that's what the Gemara is saying here.
Right.
Because if you don't have a job and you rely on your schar of your learning,
right.
That Hashem miraculously lets you find stuff, then you'll end up be ashrecha be olam hazeh, but not in the olam. You'll end up losing those golden legs in the world to come. So therefore, that's how he explains. Certainly, the person who's yagia kapecha doesn't mean that he works, but he's not a yerushimayim. He's both. He's like you said, there you could be all these different people, like Hillel. He's a wood chopper, right? So what is he doing chopping wood? Hashem probably would have taken care of him, because he realized if Hashem takes care of him, it won't be Ashrech of a Tovloch. And therefore, that's the explanation of the Gemara that the Marsha gives, that it'll be Ashrech of a Tovloch if you're Yagia Kapecha. You'll enjoy this world and the world to come. Okay. That's one explanation. Alright. See the next piece. This next piece of Gemara asks, is it good to have a neighbor who is your rabbi? Should your neighbor be a rabbi? That's the Gemara's question. And I know you have a lot of rabbis in your blocks. This is important. This is an important piece of Gemara for you. The Omrav Chiya Baram, Mishmei De'ula L'Olam, always, forever, Yidar Adam B'Makom Rabo. You should always live in the place where your Rebbe is. And so, you know, sometimes you have to wonder, the Gemara sometimes throws in the word L'Olam, L'Olam, which could mean over here that if, let's say, your Rebbe moves, so move with him. You gotta move with him. In fact, the Gemara in Makos discusses, I don't necessarily recommend having this type of a Rebbe, but if the Rebbe kills someone b'shogeg and he has to go to Ari Mikla, where is he supposed to go with him? He's supposed to go with him. So, assuming that he's a decent guy, I'm sure. L'olam yidor adam b'makam rav. You should always live nearby your rav, whoever that is. Shekolzman shish, why? What's the proof? Shekolzman shishamai ben gera kayim. As long as this person, Shammai ben Gera, was alive, Nasa Shlomo as Bas Paro. Shlomo did not marry Bas Paro, which means that Shlomo had a positive influence by this person, Shammai ben Gera. But once he was no longer in the picture, he ended up going off the derech by marrying Bas Paro. So therefore we see that if a person lives next to your Rebbe, they'll be able to keep you in line, and therefore you'll be able to act appropriately as you should. Okay. That's brought down, the Pesukim are brought down in Rashi and Sefer Melachim that proves that. So that's what you're supposed to do. So we're asked, what are you talking about? Masanya al Yidar. It says elsewhere, you're not supposed to live by your Rebbe. Which is kind of a strange thing. Don't, no, you shouldn't live by him. So Gemara says, Lo Kasha. Had the kaifle, had the little kaifle. One is when you, like, zokev kafufim, when you bend to him. When is when you do not bend to him. You see Rashi over here, about six lines from the bottom. Rashi says, had the kaifle, that when you bow down to your teacher. We're on Chesamut Aleph, on the Rashi, about six lines from the bottom. Im kofuful rabo, if you bow down, literally, to your teacher. What does that mean? L'kabel tochachato yidr etzlo. If you're able to accept his tochacha, his rebuke, when he gives you musr, when he tells you things that you're not supposed to do, you shouldn't be doing, or things you should be doing, you listen to everything he says, then you should listen to him. You should live next to him, because he'll be a positive influence. V'im lav, but if not, listen to this word, these words of Rashi. Tov lisrachik mimenu. Make sure not to live next, not only don't live next to your teacher, live very far away from him.
Why should you be getting a new teacher, basically?
Well, a teacher that will tell you things that you want to hear, that's, the question is not a good teacher. But he shogeg value him mazin. Better that what you do, you should do it with some degree of negligence and not do it on purpose. If your teacher tells you that you're doing this wrong, and you know, you hear what he's saying, if you do X, Y, and Z, you're doing these things wrong in your life, and you still do it, that's worse than just doing it without being rebuked at all, being told at all. And that's how some people explain, as we've said in the past, the double-edged sword of living in Israel. That on one hand, the person lives in Eretz Yisrael, it's a tremendous milah, a tremendous thing. However, on the other hand, sometimes it's not such a good thing. Why? So if a person is mekayim the mitzvos, it's like you're living in the palace of the king, and fulfilling the words of the king in front of him shows him tremendous respect, and he looks at you because you're so close. So, wow, what a tremendous asset that I have, this person's in my palace listening to me. But to not listen to your king, if you're in his palace, better that you should distance yourself from that palace. Better that you shouldn't be so close, because it's a greater level of disrespect by doing so in his presence. Therefore, says Rashi, better in this situation that you're not going to listen to your Rebbe, tov l'srachek mimenu. Better to distance yourself from him. Because it, not only you're doing the wrong thing, not only are you, as Rashi explains, you're doing it b'mezid, you're doing it on purpose, but you're also showing a tremendous sound of disrespect by not fulfilling, not doing what he's asking you, what he's telling you to do. Okay. Fine. With that said, we continue with the next piece of Gemara, four lines on the bottom. Omer Rav Huna Bar Yehuda. Omer Rav Menachem. Omer Rav Ami. What does the following pasuk mean? Pasuk in Yeshaya, what does it mean when it says, "Ve'ozei Hashem yikol"? Those who are ozei Hashem, that forsake. If you forsake Hashem, then yikolu, then you will be destroyed. What does that mean? Those who forsake Hashem will be destroyed. Well, it means if you forsake Hashem. But what is that? What is specifically? How are you being ozev Hashem? Incredible Gemara over here. Zeh hamaniach sefer Torah v'yatzim. This is a person that if you take out a sefer Torah in front of them, and you walk out, which means apparently is that during Torah reading, if the Torah is being read, you're not allowed to leave. And if you do leave, that's considered to be an oizvei Hashem. Or it gives the perception that you're an oizvei Hashem, that you're forsaking Hashem by not caring or wanting to listen to the Torah, but rather the second it's being heard, you walk out, right? It's like sometimes a rabbi gets, the second he starts speaking, they zoom out. I personally don't care, but some people do. But if you're going to have the Torah in front of you, which is Hashem's speech, and you walk out, that's considered to be an oizev Hashem. And that's the tremendous level of disrespect. However, Rav Avo, nothing being gavra l'gavra. Rav Avo would walk out. When would he walk out? Being gavra l'gavra. Between the aliyahs. Between the persons.
So during the 10 minutes.
There you go. Right. So, it doesn't necessarily even say when he came back.
But the issue. When he says begavel gavel, you got to assume between the guys.
Well, that's when he left. It doesn't matter necessarily when he comes back, right? The whole issue is leaving. The issue isn't coming back. The issue is when you're walking out.
Showing the disrespect that you're leaving.
Right.
But if you want to look at that, but the Sefer Torah is still out.
Right, well, that's a good question.
No, it's not just a matter, but it's leaving when you put the Sefer Torah out. But right. Since it wasn't put, if he put it back in, if it was Havar or something like that, okay. But if not, then what did it accomplish? Unless we should learn that he did come back between Gavra and Gavra.
Could be. I mean, you can also look at it as the Torah is not being read. The Torah is closed.
Right, but it's going to be open, so unless it came back, you left it there on the table.
Right, so I thought you were going to have a 45-minute Misha Berach. It's my fault that it only took 5 minutes, so I came back 45 minutes later, you know? But it could be. That's a possibility. Fine. Boy Rapapa asks a further question, which doesn't really pertain so much to us. Beim psuk l'psukim mahu teku. What is the din? Are you allowed to leave between psukim? And this was specifically in a generation, in a community, where after each pasuk, they would read the targum, which is still done in some Temoni communities, the Yemenites. I've seen do that. It's incredibly. You think the Torah reading is long in some places. When you have to read not only the laning, but then there's a targum, which means every parsha is twice as long, or even longer, because you have to keep stopping and shifting and shifting. So the question is, let's say you live there, so Beim Sukkah L'Psukah, is that okay? Teku. So that we have the acronym Tishviyat Taretz Kushas VeBayis. Then we don't know the answer. Eliyahu will answer that question for us, as he'll answer all of our questions. But perhaps the question, what's the reason why yes? Why would you say yes? Why would you say no? On one hand, you're not reading the Torah. The Torah is not being read. On the other hand, the Torah is being opened. The Torah is still open. The Torah is in the middle, in the midst of being read. So, Rav Sheshes, who was Sagi Nahar, he was blind, Mahadur Ape Vigoros, he would turn his face away and read, which is interesting. Even though he himself couldn't see, he understood the issue was the perception that if he would be there learning Torah in front of everyone, it would be disrespectful. Now, can you imagine? He's learning Torah instead of listening to the Torah reading. That's what Rav Sheshes would do. Why? Because Omer, he said the following, Anan bedidan, ve'inhu bedidhu. I do my thing and let them do their thing. Which means, what's the significance, what's the purpose of the Torah reading? It's limud Torah, right? A person, we can't have 3 days without learning Torah. And therefore, it was instituted that we have Torah reading on Saturday, Monday, and Thursday. So there's never 3 days. Sometimes there's less than 3 days. But never 3 days without Mayim, without Torah. So that was, so in other words, it's pretty amazing. You think about it. When we come to Shul this morning, on Monday morning, it's assuming, of course, you go to Shul. You go to Shul and you hear the Torah reading. That's your Limud Torah for the next 3 days. That's your learning, right? And Thursday is like Chazara, reviewing the learning that you did. That's what it was. So Rav Sheshes, who was a Talmud Chacham beyond words, I don't need to hear the Torah reading. What's the significance of it? Right? That's for them. For me, I'm on a completely different plane, and therefore I get to learn. Obviously, a person cannot say, well, Rav Sheshes did it, so I can do it, right? If you're at, once you become the level of Rav Sheshes, then you can learn while people are reading the Torah. Bad news. That'll never happen. But nonetheless, that's what Rav Sheshes did. Okay. Continue with the next piece. Very difficult mitzvah. Some people say that this is the hardest mitzvah to keep. I don't know if everyone agrees to this. But nonetheless, this is what the Gemara says. Omer Rav Huna Bar Yehuda Omer Rabbi Ami. L'olam. Again, using the word l'olam. Yashlim adam parshiyosav imatzibor. You always have to finish the parsha with the minion, with the tzibor, whatever they're up to, whatever parsha we're up to. Shnai mikra v'echatargum. You have to do shnai mikra v'echatargum. Which means that Parshas Bereishis is coming. You have to read the whole parsha twice. And you also have to do the targum, right? Which could be targum unculus. Perhaps some say Rashi, or even an English translation is different than Farshim.
Maybe the article.
Some people say that that's sufficient. There's different opinions. Right. That's the idea. That's what the Targum was. Targum was an explanation of the Pesukim. So, and that's actually what some people say. The Parsha of Shemos, or Ve'ela Shemos, some people say the words Ve'ela Shemos is an acronym. You ever heard this, Rosh Yeteva? V'chayiv Adam Likros HaTorah, Ve'ela. Every person is obligated to read. What is Shemos? Shnayim Mikra Ve'echad Targum. Shnayim Mikra Ve'echad Targum is Shemos. The person has to read the Torah twice and also the translation. Continuing on Chesem and Beis. V'yafilu Ateres V'divon. Even Ateres and Divon. What's so special about a teres and divon? So you see Rashi and Chesem and Beis. She'ein bo targum. Even though they don't have any translation, those words, you have to also read those words. She'kol, you also have to read those. Some people, in fact, say that you have to read those words twice. You have to do it three times. Because if it doesn't have a targum, if you look at the Tosas over here, Tosas Dibur Matchil, V'yafilu Ateres V'divon, not seeing the entire thing, but the last piece where it says V'yei Shlomar, Tosas says, V'yei Shlomar Mishum Hachi Nakat Ateres V'divon. Why do we say these places? Afgav De'ein Bo Targum, even though there's no translation, Yadua, known, El Targum Yerushalmi, there perhaps could be other translations, V'sarach Likros Gimel Pa'amim, Ivri, you have to read it three times. Komakim Yosetil Likros Pam Shlishis Patargum. But nonetheless, in a situation, if you don't have a translation, proper Targum for the words, then you have to read it thrice. Continuing the Gemara, Shekol HaMashlim Parshiyosim V'Metzibor, anyone who finishes the Torah with a tzibor, shnai mikra v'echa targum, what's the sechar, what's the reward? Marichin lo yom ha-mishnosav. A person will have a length of days and years. And one of the reasons I heard this some years ago, why is that the sechar? Why is that the reward? Why would you get the reward? Marichin lo yom ha-mishnosav. Because a person can look at it like this. To learn a piece of Gemara, Geshmak, a sugi of Gemara, really thinking a new piece, a new Rabbi Akiva Eger, a new Mishnah. All right, it's new. It's new. So it has value, has added value in my life. For me to read through the Chumash, what's the point? I'm wasting my life. I could be utilizing my time doing more important things. Instead, I'm busy reading Psukim Shnayim from Echatargum. I have a very short lifespan. I'm not going to waste it doing things which have no meaning. That's the reason why we're assured that if you are someone that's mashlim parshioso, imatzibor, then marichin liyom mishnosa. Don't worry about your waste of what you think is a waste of time. You'll have a richa shaman. You'll be given those that time back to you. Of course, a person repeating can't compare learning 100 times to 101 times. But nonetheless, a person would have that perception. That's what the rewarded person will get. Continuing, it says, Rabibi Bar Baye, third line from the top, Savar, La Shulaminhu, La Pershosaya, Dekul Shaita, Bimali Yoma de Kippur. Very amazing thing. He said, you know what? This whole business of learning the whole Torah, doing parsha by parsha, week by week, I can't do it. Because, you know, I'm busy, you know. I had too much stuff to do. I can't fit it into my schedule. So what did he think? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to read the entire Torah. When? Of all times. B'mali Yom Kippur. On Erev Yom Kippur. He has nothing better to do. On Erev Yom Kippur, he reads the entire Torah. What?
To be able to complete it.
To complete it. He's saying, I'll do the whole thing on Erev Yom Kippur. Obviously, the question is, why would he pick that day of all days, Erev Yom Kippur? I mean, maybe you would think another day.
So you'd have to be a scar before,
Right, that's probably the idea.
It's we do it on Hashanah Rabbah.
That what? We read the entire Torah.
What do we do with Hashanah Rabbah?
I want to sleep. Some people do. They stay up like a shavuos,
yeah,
right?
Right.
So, yeah.
Read the entire Torah.
The entire Torah. Wow. That's pretty impressive. So anyway, perhaps that's what it means, and that's also why we learned in halacha that when it comes to reciting Kiddush Levana, there's a shiloh. When should you say Kiddush Levana? Do it before Yom Kippur, after Yom Kippur. So we are knowing to do it after Yom Kippur. It's a zman of simcha. That's the proper time to say it. But some have the opinion, say it before, so this way you can get as many sechutim in, get as many mitzvot. So therefore that's the idea, perhaps, that you want to cram it all in on Erev Yom Kippur. Right? It's like a final exam. So he said, no, you can't do this. Why? Tani lechia bar rav medifti. He learned, ksiv, it's written. It's interesting that this piece of Gemara fits in here. He said, you can't do that on Erev Yom Kippur. You have bigger and better things to do, like eat. It says you're supposed to afflict your souls on the ninth day of Tishrei. So the Gemara asked, what do you mean? Are you really fasting on the ninth? You fast on the tenth day on Yom Kippur. To tell you, call anyone who eats and drinks on the ninth day, it says, though you have fasted on the ninth and the tenth day. That's
what I think. That's why it's
fasting.
Put tefillin on.
Because it's considered to be.
They put tefillin on mincha every tannis, so it's like a tannis.
Right. Erev Yom Kippur is like a tannis, right. They get the credit for fasting.
That's what I thought.
Some people are masbir that on Erev Yom Kippur, you are fasting because Yom Kippur starts. You can't fast the second Yom Kippur starts. You already have to have a little bit of, you have to add on to the Erev Yom Kippur a little bit. That's how some people also explain. But nonetheless, you can't be busy learning the Torah during that time. You're supposed to be eating. You're supposed to be eating the whole time. It's incredible. Which it's telling us that the greater schus, what's the greater thing to do? You could ask, eating a meal on Erev Yom Kippur or learning the entire Torah? Eating a meal. So they're telling you, better to eat than to learn, read the entire Torah. So she said, okay, fine, I won't do that. Therefore, I'll do it a little bit earlier. Okay, I'll cram it in at other points. I'll maybe read 20 parshas at a few times a year. So Saba Tanina. No. You're supposed to not make it earlier, not supposed to do it later. But rather, you're supposed to do them all at the same time. And that's what it says here, which we'll conclude with these words, that it says, "Can the Amul Rabbi Yishub ben Levi Levinei," that he would, Rabbi Yishub ben Levi would tell his child, his children, "Ashlimu Persho Saichui Matzibor, Shnai Mikra Ve'echad Targum." Make sure that you should do this constantly. He would warn his children that he would make sure that they would fulfill this and do it exactly at the proper time. But the idea also is that you're not a yachid, like davening with a minion, or as opposed to being on your own. So it's the same thing by learning Shnai Mikra Ve'echad Targum separately or together as a whole gives the Shnai Mikra Ve'echad Targum tremendous strength, a tremendous koach, which some people also learn out from here, the very great invention by Rabbi Shapiro, which is, Alan?
Daf Yomi.
So what's the difference if I decide I'm going to learn a blot of Gemara on my own, or I'm going to learn it together, everyone's going to do the same daf?
Well, what can I say? Because you're always going to do that daf.
Oh, right, because that gives you more of an incentive to do it. Because otherwise, if you're on your own, you're on your own, right?
So today I may be sleeping through it. Somewhat slept through this year.
Ah.
And the next one is later.
I'm sure it'll be fine. I'm sure. You slept enough now, so you'll be awake for the next year.
Yeah,
you made the proper hachanos for the next year.
In the movie, my favorite year,